Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show. Joining us, as usually always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, as well as the microphone being in the wrong position. And look, we're back to the Batman Villa angle here on the... I was just joking around with you, Andrew, that the camera was a little, you know, off kilter, and it was because I had been playing around with the microphone earlier, and I thought I had it fixed, and now I'm at, you know, the 1960s Batman the 10 degree angle. I feel, you know, maybe I am the Joker. I don't know. Trying to fix this just a tiny bit, you know, things that I should have done prior to hitting record, but that's okay. Andrew, it's been a couple of weeks. We haven't had a chance to talk in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Everything is okay, Ed. Everything is okay because this is our room.
It's true. It's
we are true. We are masters of this realm.
We are masters of this realm. We are the you're a master of the realm. I mean, you are the prince of Twitter. So I mean, I am merely the knave.
Thank you for mentioning that and acknowledging it. Yeah.
Well, lots to talk about. My goodness, I'm not even sure where to start. I mean, it's been such an interesting month, and it doesn't seem like it's slowing down, which is the reason why I just wrote a post. It just went up, actually. I was very amused and somewhat bemused, I guess I could say. James Carville was talking on somebody's show, and he says, I give it 30 days, and the Trump administration is going to collapse. All the polling support is going to collapse. And then I looked at the polling today. I was going, you know, it still seems like it's going up.
Yeah.
Over the last month. And I mean, I'm a little curious as to what James Carville thinks he sees, but I don't know that I've seen a president have a better first month in my lifetime. I don't think I've seen a president have a better first month.
Yeah. Kennedy started off at, I think it was 72 or 62%, and nobody's ever beat it. 62, and nobody's ever beat it. And nobody, I doubt, will. There is one what's the word, twinkling light of warning, a twinkling warning light in the polling, and that is that people generally like what he's doing. However, they wish he was doing more on the economy. The problem with that is he can't do much more on the economy. So he's got to make it look like he's doing a lot, and he is doing a lot. My only concern, and I'm a worrywart, but my only concern is, besides the economy, look like he's doing something on inflation. The numbers actually ticked up a little bit for January. Is that
under Biden, though? Of course, you know, those numbers are.
Yeah, no, I know, but I don't think people see nuances. They just see, it's still going up. You know, when somebody bursts into the room, and metaphorically, as Trump did on January 20th, bursts in the room and does a lot of stuff and breaks some glasses and says a lot of things and shouts a lot, and his posse comes in with him and does the same thing, everybody is blown away at first and intimidated, and then they're they stop and they see all the progress going and they think that's wonderful. But if it keeps going for an hour or two at the party, people start to get a little tired of it and worried about the chaos, and it isn't chaos, but it looks like it. And that's why I thought at CPAC this weekend, the delivery of a chainsaw to Elon Musk was not helpful. But you know, I'm in favor of almost everything he's doing except Ukraine, and I admire him for it, and it looks like real progress, and I hope he carries on, and the wall is being built some more, and so he's got a lot more energy, and more importantly, he's got a lot of focus. We're taping this on Monday, and he had a meeting with Macron, and not typical Trump behavior in the meeting, he gave Macron a lot of credit and for suggesting to include Ukraine in the talks with Russia, which obviously had to be done anyway, and for the Notre Dame restoration. And Trump was very congenial. When Macron arrived at the White House this morning, Trump did not meet him at the door, which is kind of an insult. It could have been an oversight, but I doubt it. So, you know, it's this back and forth, push him a little bit, and then he pushes back. And so it's very Trumpian. Obviously I'm wishing him the best, but I think he and Musk need to be a little more careful.
Well,
on appearances,
but honestly, I mean, I took a look at the Harvard Harris Caps poll today. And the reason why I bring this up is because James Carville is the one who predicted this. And I like James Carville. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with James Carville, but I kind of appreciate the fact that he says what he thinks. You know, I think everybody sort of has a beer list in their head in our business, which is who would you most like to have a beer with? You know, among people in politics and stuff like that, just so that you could sit and talk and have a conversation, right? And, you know, Carville's one of those guys for me. I don't know if he drinks beer. I don't really drink a whole lot of it either, but I mean, you know, but I think he'd be interesting to sit down and have a conversation with because he's kind of got the DGAF, you know, don't give a flying, you know what, yeah, attitude. And he's willing to criticize his own side, but this one, I don't get at all. He's saying, oh, well, you know, the polling is showing signs of collapse. And I look at the Harvard Harris poll, and with the exception of the Gulf of America thing, which is, you know, like I said, I'm fine with them calling it the Gulf of America. Not really one of my big issues, but I'm fine with that. But with the exception of that, Donald Trump is on the side of large majorities of the American public. And I'll just go over a few of them with you here. Now, on the Gulf of America thing, only 39% of Americans support him. It's the only one where he's underwater, right? Deporting immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes, 81% of Americans want those people deported. Undertaking a full-scale effort to find and eliminate fraud and waste in government expenditures, 76%. Another 76% want to close the border, or secure the border, I think is probably a better way of putting it. 69% support the restatement of biology in terms of men's and women's access to spaces and women's sports, right? And 65% want to get rid of DEI. And these are all the fights that he's having.
Yeah.
And these are the fights that Democrats keep trying to challenge him on.
Yeah, and I know. It's insane.
They're not paying attention to this. And that's the reason why, as long as he's doing this, you know, as long as this goes on, he's going to be popular, even if some of the moves he make aren't necessarily popular, like some of the Doge stuff probably isn't, at least at the moment. We talk about 80-20 issues, and one of these, actually deporting illegal immigrants who are criminals, is actually literally an 81-19 issue. But these are at least 2-1 issues, right? And Donald's on the 2 and Democrats are on the 1. And I don't think they've realized this. And I'm not even sure that they care at this point. It's really just about power. And that's the reason why you're seeing in the media, because I say Democrats in the protection racket media, and then I always apologize for the redundancy. What they're doing is they're holding these, they're promoting these stories, which I have decided to start calling the poster children of woe, right? Oh, on CNN, yeah. There's a clip going around yesterday, I think it was from yesterday or might have been from this morning, where a CNN host is asking a federal employee, how did Elon Musk's email that asked you to list the, you know, five things you did in the past week, how'd that make you feel? Oh, it made me feel horrible.
Yeah.
As though 90% of the American electorate is going to side with the the bureaucrats. I mean, I don't know what world they're looking in.
Yeah, I know. It's just bizarre. They don't, and the media doesn't get it. The Democrats don't get it. But I repeat myself. The public, I think, gets it. I'm just worried that over time, like after 100 days, people are going to say, okay, can we tone it down a little? That's all. But that's not right. In the meantime, yep. He's doing great stuff as far as I'm concerned. I don't think, Selena said, take Trump, don't take him literally, but take him seriously. And when he says that Ukraine invaded Russia and Zelensky's a dictator, it's not helpful.
It's not helpful. And I was arguing that you can make a case for a negotiated settlement of the war in which Ukraine is going to have to part with some territory without the moral inversion of claiming that Ukraine was the aggressor in this conflict, because it wasn't. You know, maybe they did things that ticked off Russia. Maybe they were, I don't even think that this.
Well, but nothing would entitle them unless they invaded. Yeah, nothing would do that. And let's remember, you know, Budapest and all those agreements in the past.
You're right.
When Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons, Russia, the U.S., and Britain, and I think some others, said that they would protect Ukraine's sovereignty for them giving up the old Soviet nuclear weapons, which went back to Russia. So, you know, we need to do this. And if someday we hope to get North Korea or Iran to give up their nuclear weapons, this is not helpful. Who would believe a promise from the West? Oh, we promised Muammar Gaddafi that, you know, if he gave up his weapons, he'd be okay. And what was it, 9 years later, the Europeans invaded?
Was it even? I think
2001 to 2011. Right. Yeah, 10 years. The Europeans invaded and Obama went along with it, moved the carrier in, and they were bombing and took 9 months. They thought it would take a few days. And they got rid of Gaddafi. Unfortunately, they turned Libya into a lawless state where terrorists, all kinds of terrorists, now train and fight each other. And I don't get it. And Obama got the peace prize. So,
right. Well, look, I mean,
so much doesn't make any sense.
But I mean, I understand why Donald Trump's numbers are up. I mean, one of the things that you see in this Harvard Harris poll, as well as other polls, right? You can go over to Real Clear Politics or you can use Nate Silver's 538. Either one, you're going to see pretty much the same trending, which is that the right, wrong direction numbers are the best that they've been in almost 4 years. And that change happened in a month. it's still not positive because it was so far negative, but it's closer than it's been in almost four years since I think June of 2021. So again, people like what they're seeing. They want to see, and I think some of this too, and we should talk a little bit about this before we get to MSNBC, because I want to talk about MSNBC. but before we get to MSNBC, some of this is just leadership, right? I mean, there has really been...
No, there's no leadership. Yeah, none. There's none. Just putting in the time, and he didn't even show up to put in the time. 40% on big...
He clocked in and clocked out.
Yeah, he clocked in and clocked out. Yeah, right. To clock in late Monday and clock out early Friday. I don't miss him, and I don't care what he's doing as long as he's not doing anything.
And I'm glad you said that, because what is he doing? This is really interesting. Now, in years past, meaning before Barack Obama, when presidents left the office, they would make an effort to sort of go into the background, right? Yeah. They would try to stay out of the way, out of respect for their successor. And that was pretty much true, I think, at least in my lifetime, of every president that's gone through. Of course, with Richard Nixon, it was a little easier because nobody wanted to hear from him initially anyway. But, you know, even Reagan pulled back, H.W. Bush, W. Bush, you know, the Clintons kind of, sort of, although he did, she didn't, right? But still, he kind of tried to stay out of things. He tried to be friends with George W. Bush. They turned out to, they actually developed a, I think, a remarkable friendship. And now that stopped when Obama left the office, because he never left DC. Yeah. He's one of the few presidents, if not the only president, who never actually left. And his people were still in the mix. He was still, everybody knows this, he was still directing things behind the scenes. When Donald Trump was president, he was part of that whole resistance stuff. When Joe Biden was president, arguably that was Obama running that White House. Biden's just gone.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating. Nobody's even heard from the guy. He signed a, I think he's, was it CAA? He got an agent.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, they'll give him multiple millions for a book that he didn't write. And I guess that's the way it's played.
But let me look, Kamala Harris was in Los Angeles. Still delivering word salad observations on things like the Palisades fire. This is a little clip that's floating around today. She's out there. She's not in hiding. I mean, just to be fair, I don't want to imply that she's trying to get in front of Donald Trump. I don't think that that's what it is, but she's out. She's, you know, she's still doing her political career. She wants to run for office again, clearly. And so she's got to be out there. And Trump didn't retire either. I mean,
yeah, that's
he was the most unretired guy, but I mean, and that's sort of the thing with, it's like, man, Biden disappeared fast. And I kind of thought that that was what was going to happen. As soon as they got him off the tarmac, right? You saw the scene with J.D. Vance and Donald Trump and their wives waving to him as Joe Biden climbed on Marine One. That's the last time we're ever going to see this guy.
Yeah, really. And, you know, if my memory is correct, usually the new president stays there and waves as the helicopter leaves. They stayed there and waved and then left. And then the helicopter left. So he couldn't be, Biden couldn't be gone fast enough in their minds. And I don't blame them. Same for me.
Well, I think same for the vast majority of people. And again, it goes to show the difference that actual leadership makes. And sometimes sometimes it's not even necessarily the specific tasks that you're laying out, right? It's just the fact that there's somebody in charge who's willing to act. And I think that that's a quality that Americans tend to appreciate.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. The feed between you and me broke up there, so I don't know what you said, but I agree with you, Ed.
Yeah, it said, 100%. Said my connection's unstable, and that's because it's me, you know, I'm unstable.
Waldorf and Statler.
Always. Let's talk a little bit about MSNBC, because there's a meltdown right now, and we like to talk about media. MSNBC is up for sale, first off. You know, they're trying to sell off, you know, Comcast is trying to sell it off along with some other channels because they want to be out of the cable channel business, which is interesting because they're a cable provider. MSNBC's lost half of its audience since the election. That's not necessarily a big shock. And then over the weekend, they canned Joy Reid who for some reason they allowed to have one more show tonight. This is going to be a disaster for MSNBC, but that's another thing. Along with three of their other hosts. Keith Olbermann's going on about how MSNBC, I'm not kidding you, by the way, on Twitter, talking about how MSNBC is run by white supremacists because they're getting rid of Joy Reid and some other hosts that are people of color.
But the tax dodger, Al Sharpton, remains.
Yes. I mean, at least as far as we know, his show hasn't been canceled. And with some of the other people, Jonathan Capehart was one of them. Katie Fang is another. And I can't remember the third person. They're not going to be out entirely from MSNBC. Joy Reid is, apparently. She's out. These other three are going to be reassigned. They're going to do different things, you know. But basically, I don't know. I'm not even sure what they're doing, because unless they really are thinking about changing their direction in terms of, you know, covering news rather than the propaganda, the Democrat Party propaganda and the, you know, perpetual poster children of woe coverage that they're going to be doing through the Trump presidency, they're going to be entirely irrelevant. There's nothing relevant about them now.
No, there's not. They've got a sliver of an audience. Like you said, half are gone, but half is still there, and they have to make it look at least viable. They have to keep it in operating shape if they really want to sell it. Joy Reid was a problem. Talk about two people, Joy Behar and Joy Reid, misnamed. She was problematic in terms of racial talk. I don't know how they lasted this long with her. So she's gone, and that's not a loss.
that's a good way of putting it. Not a loss. Axios reported on the MSNBC stuff yesterday, and I'm trying to find the article because this is it. MSNBC will lean into progressive roots in the Trump era. This is Axios from yesterday. I believe this came out right before it leaked out that Joy Reid had been fired.
So yesterday being Sunday,
Says MSNBC's new president, Rebecca Kutler, plans to announce broad programming changes to the network that elevate some of its most progressive voices, sources told Axios. The changes signal the network's intent to double down on its liberal bend instead of moving to the center, toward the center in a new Trump era. Jen Psaki is going to get her own show, they think. Alex Wagner was the one I was trying to remember, whose show was canceled, is going to remain a correspondent. And Simone Sanders Townsend, Michael Steele, and Alicia Menendez will move to anchor a weekday program in the 7 p.m. hour. They were co-hosting the weekend, so they actually got a promotion because they're going to be, I guess, taking over what Joy Reid's spot was. And
this is all so exciting. You know, I can hardly get over it.
I mean, in terms of where the American media is going, this is. MSNBC is not alone in this. Most American news outlets are doing the exact same thing. They're doubling down on the hysteria. They're doubling down on the idea that Trump is, you know, an authoritarian because he's exercising Article II powers. Yeah. And there was actually an interesting moment last night on MSNBC where their legal analyst came up and said, you know, I'm watching this network and I keep hearing that Trump's getting his ass kicked in court. And he says, Trump isn't getting his ass kicked at all in court. None of these things, these are stays, and he's winning some of the stays. He says, stay is the easiest thing to do, and executive order is the easiest thing to do. There hasn't been a court that's actually stopped anything. It's just paused a few things. And actually, Trump is ending up winning some of those things already. He says, so when we're talking about, you know, and he didn't say this network, he said the left. When the left is going around talking about how Trump is getting his ass kicked, this guy's name is Danny Savio. He says, what do you say when it turns out that Trump wins these? He got his ass unkicked. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you remember back in the 90s when Fox News started, and that was the alternative. And all the media said, well, that's just not going to work. And then they became a juggernaut because they were providing something that wasn't there. Now, they've been tagged as right. I think right leaning is better. I find when, for instance, when I watched Bret Baier, I thought they were being very professional. Their interviews with newsmakers, Kamala Harris and others, they were down the middle. He pressed Kamala Harris, but she was dodgy. One America or?
Yeah, One America Network. One American News Network, OANN, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those you can call right network, but.
Yeah, that's kind of full MAGA. That one's kind of full MAGA,
but I wouldn't say Fox is. And I guess there's a family battle going on inside, and it's 3-1 against the liberal children against the conservative Murdoch, who Rupert wants to take over the network, and he can't change his trust. So we don't know about the future there. Excuse me.
Well, and again, I mean, it'd be one thing if the facts laid out that way, right? But that's not what's going on here. This is the same type of propagandizing for Democrats that the media was doing in 2024 and 2023 before that. Donald Trump is Hitler. Donald Trump is the worst ever. Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. And it doesn't work. It hasn't been working. And you'd think that at some point they would take a look at that, MSNBC, just the same as the rest of them, and say, maybe we need a new strategy. Maybe we should try something different. But Axios is saying, oh, we're going to double down on that. And that's going to work.
Nobody can explain it. You want the house to look nice if you're selling it. I guess that's what Comcast is doing with MSNBC. But it's not working in terms of developing an audience. But.
Right. I mean, it's not getting. Do you see it getting any better? I was actually thinking that maybe they would take a lesson from this, right? And that maybe they'd back off of this a little bit, try to rebuild at least some credibility with audiences. And I think that they've just decided that they don't really want.
No, you just preach to the choir. And I'm not sure Americans would believe them if they changed. I don't think the media, the standard media, has much credibility. So basically, who cares? People are finding their own reliable sources online and on the air. Which makes sense. And certainly the alternate media, of which you and I are a part, we're doing pretty well without the collusion between the Biden administration and the social media.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to run out of time here pretty quick. We haven't even mentioned your two columns over at Red State.
Okay. We've got time to mention them, Ed.
We do have time to mention them. So two. Yes, Donald Trump writes another of Joe's evil wrongs. And then the other one, I should probably mention them both. They're both great. Handling horror is hard. But let's talk about Donald Trump writing another of Joe's evil wrongs. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, just from the headline, what could this be? Because there's a number of choices.
Yeah, there are. There are. So you clicked, right?
I did.
Yeah. Well, I personally was so outraged with forcing 8,200 volunteer military service people out because they didn't want to get the COVID jab. And apparently there were a whole bunch of others who left before they had to defy it. So we lost several thousand people. Now, this is not a minor expense to train these people. They were not, you know, newbies. They were not rookies. These are people who had been in the service. And for some reason, they didn't want to get the shot. And it's just so authoritarian. Because it was so damaging, quietly, Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, who went AWOL over his own medical condition, that's okay. But that's okay. They invited the 8,200 to return to the service, and I guess 182 of them agreed and returned. Trump changed the rule, and he said he welcomed everybody back. Not only welcomed them back, but back with their existing rank and back pay and bonuses and all benefits restored. We don't know how many will come, presumably in, what was it, 3 years? Almost 3 years. They've developed or gotten into other careers. They got families, and you know they're going to have to pass physicals again to get in. But it was the right thing to do, was to invite them all back. And you know, things are not going great in recruiting anyway. So they can use every skilled. These are volunteers. These are volunteers. You're a volunteer. Get out of here. We want to stick a needle in you. It's just so, to me, so outrageous. But so I wanted to write about it, and I did. And I hope a lot of them take it back. I wish them all well.
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, the whole gender ideology thing that he's reversing is another great example of this. And there's all sorts of different things that he's
changed the chairman.
Changed the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He's,
Hegseth said, I think, a good thing. He said, no, he's an honorable man. I've gotten to know him. 40 years in service. He's a general. His honorable service, he's just not the right man for the time. He was very outspoken about DEI, and there's a lot on the record about it, and Trump didn't want him there.
Right. And that's
his prerogative. Yeah.
His prerogative. You know, people forget that Obama replaced 197 high-ranking officers in the military when he came into office the first time. And then he did it again in the second term. So, you know, all these people are shrieking about, oh, Trump's politicizing the military. It's the exact same thing that Obama did, is that Obama wanted to reorient the military to his own political agenda. That's, like it or not, that's within the authority of the elected president, because he's the only Article 2 authority that that exists. And he and the vice president, you know, and people are, this is the same thing about Elon Musk. And, you know, people are, I don't think that an unelected billionaire should have anything to say about the federal bureaucracy. Really? Because I remember when Larry Summers was, you know, the Secretary of the Treasury. I remember when, you know, Jamie Dimon was one of Barack Obama's close economic advisors. I recall when, you know, George Soros, you know, was influencing policy at the White House in both the Obama and Biden terms. Biden gave, you know, George Soros a Medal of Freedom.
Disgusting.
Just a month ago, right? And, but I mean, the point is that he's operating under Trump's authority, right? And Trump can appoint whoever he wants to appoint. He can choose advisors, whoever he wants to choose.
Well, yeah, this is a measure of their frustration, is that they've got nothing real. So they go after him, made up things that that they can't really go after him for. He's entitled to do it, so he does it. You know, I remember the commander-in-chief disappeared during Benghazi for 16 hours, and there was never any explanation. The media never forced him to explain where he was when the four Americans got killed. So,
yeah. Well, that kind of leads into the title of your other post, which is Handling Horror is Hard.
Yeah. That's that one surprised me. I thought people might be turned off by it, but they seemed to like it quite a bit. What I felt was that this, we see horror all the time. Just in Germany a couple of weeks ago, you know, a guy driving into the crowd, and in New Orleans, driving into the crowd, and it's happened in other places. And I thought, well, how do we handle this as individuals? And I tried to be honest about it and addressed, and I wrote about how I handled it as an individual. And I won't spoil it for people. I hope they go and look for it, but in the author's page at Red State. But I just thought it was maybe time that, instead of everybody going, oh, I can't watch it, maybe somebody should address, we have to watch it, otherwise they win.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you have to be in it enough to know that stuff, right? I mean, I don't want people to do things that they just simply can't handle. But I think part of the problem is that we've forgot how much we actually can handle and how much we should be able to handle as grown up adults, right? In a self-governing society, those are the things that we have to face.
Yeah. And to turn away means basically they got away with it. Now, you can't step up and stop them individually, but basically I felt it was important that for me to give them the finger. So I did.
There you go. So you can go over to Red State to see Andrew give
give the finger to terrorists.
If you're giving the finger to terrorists, that's okay. Because I was going to say, if you're giving the finger out, maybe you should have your camera tilted, you know,
ten degrees.
Yeah. Batman. There you go. The villain's lair. Andrew is in the villain's lair, the Batman's 1960s Batman's villain's lair. All right. And if you get that reference, man, you're just as old as Waldorf and Statler are. All right. Do you have any jokes of the day to wrap
things? I do not. After the terror column, I couldn't make a joke.
I have two of them for you.
Okay.
All right. And so we'll go out with that. First one is, a missionary's in Africa. He's taking a walk in the jungle for some reason. Suddenly he hears a noise from the brush in front of him, and it's a lion. Looks like a hungry lion too. So he starts to back up, and then he hears a noise from behind. Sure enough, there's another lion. He looks to his left and to his right. Lions, right? So it's looking pretty grim. So the missionary sat down and opened up the Bible to read it. And shortly after he started reading, the lions jumped on the missionary and ate him up completely. And the moral of this story is, never read between the lions.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, yeah, there you go. All right, one last one, and I know you're going to appreciate this. Little Timmy is in a garden filling in a hole when his neighbor peers over the fence. And, you know, the neighbor is kind of interested in what Timmy's doing. So he politely asks, what are you up to there, Timmy? And Timmy says, my goldfish died, and I've just buried him. And the neighbor, you know, felt bad and said, well, that's terrible. He looks down at the hole again. He says, well, that's kind of a big hole for a goldfish, isn't it? So Timmy pats the earth and says, that's because he's in your stupid cat.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming either, Ed.
Those are both from jokesoftheday.net. I love going over to that site and just checking them out for some fun jokes. So jokesoftheday.net, I love to give them credit. So go over there and check them out. Andrew Malcolm, glad that we're back on track for this. We'll be back again next week. And next week, we'll have to preview the State of the Union address that will be taking place on Tuesday evening of next week. We'll be recording on March the 3rd, on Monday, March the 3rd, but we'll maybe preview what we think is going to take place in Congress the next day. We can see how accurate our predictions will be.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Thank you, Edward. Thanks, everybody. See you later.